Before you and your divorce attorney make any key financial decisions or sign your final settlement agreement, set up an appointment with a certified divorce financial analyst. At FMB Wealth Management, located in Westlake Village, they take your future into account, help you examine the financial issues of your divorce, and provide you with powerful data to support your case. Call Kathy Costas and Evan Miller, certified divorce financial analysts. They help women make the best financial decisions during the worst of times. Call us at 805-446-4494. That's 805-446-4494. Email Kathy at fmbwealth.com today.
The holidays are almost here, and Studio Channel Islands Art Center would like to invite you to their annual festive event, the Holiday Art Market, featuring original gifts created by more than 40 residents and invited artists that will exhibit distinctive artwork, including paintings, sculptures, ceramics, unique jewelry, and much more for your holiday gift giving. 20% of sale proceeds go towards supporting the nonprofit Studio Channel Islands Art Center, located at 2222 Ventura Boulevard in Camarillo. Come visit this truly unique event on Saturday, December 3rd from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with free parking. For more information, visit StudioChannelIslands.org or call 805-383-1368.
As you embark on the process to acquire a home or refinance an existing home, choosing the right mortgage professional to guide you through the process is essential. With over 40 years in the mortgage industry, Michael Blazer can help you achieve the dream of home ownership or greater home affordability. Experience matters in today's ever-increasing complexity of the lending process. Backed by the power and strength of the nation's largest privately held purchase money institution, Stearns Lending. For more information, call 805-367-3117, extension 105. That's 805-367-3117, extension 105. Or visit mikeforloans.com. NMLS number 248433.
With 30 years in business and counting, satisfied customers of Ventura County rely on Ding Masters for removal of dings and dents. They also provide beautiful bodywork at competitive prices. Call Ding Masters for your bumper, door, panel, and fender repairs. Call now at 805-644-4521. That's 805-644-4521. Or visit dingmasters.net for anything from a small ding to major insurance work.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And, of course, I'm Kim, and Chad's not quite here yet. He must not have had his coffee this morning, but Tom is here. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great, Kim, heading towards Christmas.
I know. It's starting to get that little anxiety, you know, where you like feel like you got everything under control and then all of a sudden it just starts like doubling up, tripling up, and you're going, okay, never mind, you know. Anyways, again, for anybody that's just waking up, starting your day in a positive way, we hope that you tune in every Saturday here from 6 to 8. And I always like to start something with some kind of inspiration and really just kind of take a moment to realize that we are all here on the same planet and all trying to do the same thing. And today will be amazing. So wake up and smile. Positivity is a choice that becomes a lifestyle. With that, you have tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show. And I'd love to give out our phone number here at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We've got lots of stuff that we would love to give away. And we always get callers from all of our, listeners out there. And we'd love to hear that from you. And we do want to also share that we've got a newsletter that goes out every single week. And that's more chances to win. But not only that, really to find out who it is that we're talking to. And we love to share all of our guests with us. Again, our phone number here is 805-419-0008. I want you to write that down because we'd love to hear from you and we want you to call us. All you have to do is leave us your name and your number and what you're calling about so that one of our team members will get back with you. Also, if you have a business or an event that's happening, we're approaching the end of the year. We'd love to work with you in the 2017 and have you be a part of what we're doing here in the show. So again, I really want to hear from you. We'll make it work. There's something for everyone. So again, give us a call at that same number, or you can email us at kim@kimpaganoshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the way through social. Today, our first guest is Thomas Sterner, and his book is Fully Engaged. Our next guest is Raghavan Iyer, talking about smashed, mashed, and boiled, and baked, and fried too. What do you think we're talking about? You'll find out. And then, of course, we've got Peter Van Norden, and who plays Scrooge, and then director Brian McDonald chatting with us about Charles Dickens and A Christmas Carol. So we are excited to be chatting. That's just our first hour. So, Tom, you want to? Oh, okay. Chad's here. Chad, welcome. Thank you so much showing up today. Did you get your coffee? Okay, you got
your
tea.
I got my coffee. Okay, traffic was a little bad today.
Okay,
and, puppies always... take a little more time.
This is so true.
We got some new puppies coming up at Paw Works.
So okay.
You got to check them out.
Okay.
But yeah, we have some amazing giveaways. We have Rubicon Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. Our inaugural production of the Dickens classic last season was presented with a heightened focus on storytelling and received excellent reviews. The Critics' Choice Review in the Times praised the adaptation and the virtuoso performances of Rubicon favorites Joe Spano and Peter Van Norden, who returned this year along with other members of the 24-person cast. The play runs from December 7th to December 24th at the Rubicon. Also, Conejo Players Theater is presenting Sideshow, and I believe tonight is the last show.
Right.
Sideshow is based on a true story of Siamese twins Violet and Daisy Hilton, who have become stars during the Depression. Sideshow is a moving portrait of two women joined at the hip, whose extraordinary bond brings them fame but denies them love. Told mostly entirely in song, the show follows their progression from England to America around the vaudeville circuit and to Hollywood on the eve of their appearance in 1931 movie Freaks. You can win tickets right here to both of those performances at 805-419-0008. 419-0008, name, number, email address, and a team member will contact you back.
Perfect, perfect. All right, we want to hear it from everyone out there. And again, we know that you got lots of choices and your days are always busy, but we are so glad that you have tuned in here. Let's bring our first guest on, Thomas Sterner, and of course his book, Fully Engaged, Using the Practicing Mind in Daily Life. And I love this. Thomas, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and of course, your book. Is this your first book?
No, it is not my first book. As the subtitle says, Using the Practicing Mind in Daily Life, my first book was The Practicing Mind, and it was a book that I originally self-published back in the early 2000s, and it just fortunately did so well that it got picked up by New World Library and became an international bestseller. So then many people were asking me for more, and that's really where Fully Engaged came from.
I love it, more. That's the secret word, more. I want more. When somebody wants more, you know you're doing a good job. So so tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got started.
Well, I at a young age, I was a very disciplined but very creative person, and there was a part of my personality that realized that and knew that I needed to change that probably by the time I was in a senior in high school. I didn't know how I was going to change it, but I did realize that I had this behavioral pattern where I would become interested in accomplishing something new, whether that was learning to play a musical instrument or it really could be anything. And I would burn up the initial intensity of my enthusiasm pretty quickly, and then I would find something else to go after. And I guess around in college, I started reading about Eastern thought, and then after that, I began reading about sports psychology and found out that they were really two sides of the same coin, and they were telling us what we know for sure now through empirical studies is that being in the present moment is where we operate at our highest function, and our experience of whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish becomes one of contentment, even bliss. And we accomplish things quicker with a lot less effort. So I began to utilize this in my job at the time, which was I was a concert piano technician, and I also remanufactured big concert grands. And that was a good stage for that because, you know, everything on a piano you have to do at least 88 times and usually hundreds of times because, you know, just the keyboard alone has 5,000 parts in it and 34 adjustments per note, and it just goes on and on. And also, the job puts you in a position where you're working in solitude by all day long. So I spent a lot of time by myself in a job that had a lot of repetition. So it really gave me a proving ground to work this stuff out and to see how to apply it in everything in my life. And that was by the time I was in my late 20s is when I decided to write the Practicing Mind. And then, as I said earlier, it just kind of grew from there. And I ended up selling the whole piano business and now this is what I do for a career.
I love it. Okay. So let me ask you a question. When you say, I mean, it sounds like, you practice on one thing and of course, your second book, Fully Engaged. Okay. What if you can't get your, you know, like you have lots of things going on in your life, right? And can you relate to that, Chad?
Always.
Yeah. And so I'm like trying to like, okay, I got to delegate or break them down into compartments so that we can get all of our stuff done?
Well, I think before you can do anything like what you just said, you have to be able to separate yourself from your thoughts because most people spend their day absorbed in their thoughts, so they're really not in control of what they're doing or what they're thinking. Mm. And what you just said in terms of organizing your life, you have to be able to step back from your life and you have to be able to look at what's working and what's not. And that's the reason why the first chapter in Fully Engaged talks about thought awareness training. It's really a core fundamental for any kind of success in life. You have to understand that you're not your thoughts. You're the one that experiences your thoughts. And some of the thoughts that your mind creates, it creates through your own intention. You want to solve a problem, so you start thinking about it. But many of the thoughts, most of the thoughts that our minds produce during the day are thoughts that the mind itself creates as it goes out in a problem-solving mode. And we know that. I mean, we know that the mind is a problem-solving machine, and if you don't give it a problem to solve, it'll go looking for one. And so you're usually in the past or in the future revisiting things or anticipating things. So all of your focus isn't going into what you're doing, and that's part of the practice is understanding that and developing that skill, learning that you are not your thoughts and being able to be an observer of them. And then you can begin to use your mind to serve yourself, to do the things that you just described. You know, do I want to delegate this here, or, you know, are you just getting carried along through the day working on one thing, but while you're working on this, you're worried about four other things that need to get done during the day? That's a classic example of how your mind is not, it's not with you completely doing what you're doing.
You know, and I have to agree with this, and I think this is what distinguishes certain people from like managers or owners or business owners who are really entrepreneurs. I can take an example with PawWorks. You know, we deal with animals' lives every day, and sometimes we have emergencies where an animal is crashing, and my employees will automatically, their emotions take over.
They freak out.
They're like, I get crying. I get all these emotions, and I literally just stop, step back, and I say, give me the animal. You go do this. You go do this. You go do this. And in my head, I'm already five steps ahead, knowing I got to go to the vet. I have to call the vet on the way. And I have all these things. And even with that, knowing that I'm ran on donations, I'm all, okay, I got to do a video. I got to do this. I think when you separate yourself from your thoughts, I agree with this, that you're able to be more successful.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, you can be. You know, people say, well, how do I become more present? Well, you can't become more present if you don't know when you're not being present. And so once again, we're back to how do we, you know, you need to develop this awareness of where am I? You know, am I actually absorbed in what I'm doing, or am I like, you know, am I 10 steps ahead of where I am? And when you are 10 steps ahead of where you are, you don't have full access to your consciousness in what you're doing right now. And so there's a lot of thought energy that's being expended in things that really aren't in front of you. And so you become, it's very inefficient and it's also very draining.
Wow. You know what? We need to take a really quick break, but I want to see if you can kind of maybe walk us through it for people, you know, or somebody that's listening that says, oh my God, I so want to do this, but everything in my life is overwhelming. How do they kind of, you know, what's the practicing mind and how to use it in a daily life? So will you just stay with us?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We're so glad that you are here, starting your day in a positive way, waking up with us. And we're going to be here all the way until 8 o'clock. We've got some amazing guests. We're talking with right now with Thomas Sterner. We're talking about his book, Fully Engaged.
And this weekend, we have Home for the Holidays tours. It starts Sunday, December 11th. It's from noon to 4. And explore local homes in Pleasant Valley decorated for the holidays while enjoying seasonal music, experience inspirational decor celebrating a variety of holiday traditions. Enjoy shopping at the Red Barn Holiday Boutique at the Camarillo Ranch featuring refreshments and homemade goodies, and entice your taste buds with sumptuous brunch available for individual purchase or as a benefit of the sponsorship. If you don't win tickets right here, you can get tickets at MeadowlarkServiceLeague.com or 805-479-7777, or you can win them right here at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Name, number, email address, and a team member will contact you back.
You got it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
As you embark on the process to acquire a home or refinance an existing home, choosing the right mortgage professional to guide you through the process is essential. With over 40 years in the mortgage industry, Michael Blazer can help you achieve the dream of home ownership or greater home affordability. Experience matters in today's ever-increasing complexity of the lending process. Backed by the power and strength of the nation's largest privately held purchase money institution, Stearns Lending. For more information, call 805-367-3117, extension 105. That's 805-367-3117, extension 105. Or visit mikeforloans.com. NMLS number 248433. Gain energy and relief from pain. Learn new healing techniques. Discover a deeper healing bond with the pets in your life with Doris Muna, a third-generation healer. Doris Muna, author of The Triangle of Health, Discover Your Healing Journey, is an energy healing practitioner, consultant, international instructor, and founder of Dorothea Healing Essences. She has been using energy healing for 30 years to help people transform their lives into a richer, more rewarding, and meaningful experience. For more information, call 805-807-3097. That's 805-807-3097.
Ventura County's Mortgage Couch strives to identify the best wholesale lender for their clients. Their ultimate goal is to help families move into their dream home, fix their home, and refinance their home. Whether you're looking for the best possible terms or a specific lender to accommodate a unique situation, Mortgage Couch has the resources and expertise to meet every need. Apply for your loan today. Please call 805-676-0377. That's 805-676-0377. Or visit their website at www.mortgagecouch.com.
Before you and your divorce attorney make any key financial decisions or sign your final settlement agreement, set up an appointment with a certified divorce financial analyst. At FMB Wealth Management, located in Westlake Village, they take your future into account, help you examine the financial issues of your divorce, and provide you with powerful data to support your case. Call Kathy Costas and Evan Miller, certified divorce financial analysts. They help women make the best financial decisions during the worst of times. Call us at 805-446-4494. That's 805-446-4494. Email Kathy at fmbwealth.com today.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And of course, I'm Kim.
I'm Chad.
And how are you doing, Chad? I'm glad you're here.
I slipped in, and you know, I'm glad it's the weekend again.
God, isn't it? That we were just saying before you got here how it just starts like, I'm like, okay.
Well, December is halfway over almost.
I,
Yeah, don't even go there, okay? I know. And you know what's weird? We did not have Thanksgiving. We always have Thanksgiving and got our lights up and our everything done. Not so much. We kind of fell out of our sink, you know? And we've got everybody trees, coming
everything's
over.
Not up for us either. But okay. We usually wait until mid-December because then we let it go all the way through January.
And I like to get mine down by January.
Really?
New year, new clean. I'm like,
I don't like to end the holidays. I love the holidays.
I know. So maybe I'll do it different again.
There
Who
you
knows?
Go. Change
See?
It up.
Change it up. My son, my younger son, he's like, why are you changing everything? Everything was perfect, you know? Some people.
Kids need to just deal with it.
I know. See? So anyways, we're talking with Thomas Sterner. Thomas, are you there? Your book, Fully Engaged. I think we need to be fully engaged. and I want to talk about using your practicing mind in a daily life. We were talking about one. Sometimes we just get overwhelmed. And so what are some of the steps that we can take to really just be fully engaged?
Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to practice thought awareness training, and that basically is, some people would call it meditation. I don't like to use that word in regards to this because meditation has a lot of connotations to it, and it's used for different things. But what we're really after in this practice is just becoming more aware, more of an observer and a noticer of our thoughts. So how do you do that? Well, you sit in a chair quietly, close your eyes for... We're talking about 10 to 15 minutes a day here. If you can't come up with that much time to greatly improve your life, you need to clear your schedule.
Yeah.
But, 10 to 15 minutes, close your eyes, and either just watch your body breathe or repeat a very short phrase to yourself, something that you find comforting. Now, it sounds very easy to do, but what will happen very quickly as you do this, I should say the mechanics are very easy, but what will happen, and you can expect it to happen, is that your mind doesn't like that. It doesn't like being in the present. There's no problem to solve. So it will start running off and you'll be...
monkey brain.
Yeah, you won't notice it. You'll just go with it because that's what you've been doing your whole life. And what will happen is there'll be an instant where you wake up. And when you wake up, you'll realize you're at the grocery store, or you're at the hardware store, you're thinking about something you said last week or something you got to do next week. And you realize that you're not paying attention to your breath or you're not paying attention to this phrase that you're repeating. And that's where all the juice is right in that moment. Because when you wake up there, and this is where people fail in this, is they think that if they're chasing their mind all the time, that they're not doing well. But I tell them, you can't be chasing your mind if you're not noticing that you're what your mind is doing. If you're chasing your mind, it means you're noticing that your mind is not on task, and so you're constantly bringing it back. And it's in that moment when you wake up and you bring it back, the two things happen. One is your awareness, the observer portion of you grows, and your strength, your ability to redirect the mind grows. Both of those things happen in that one instance. So when people say, I'm not very good because I'm always chasing my mind, I say, no, you are actually very good. Because you're chasing your mind, because you're noticing what your mind's doing, and you're getting a lot of reps in, just like at the gym. So, you know, don't come. There is no such thing as a bad practice. You know, some days your mind is very active, it's very agitated, and it's going to be running off a lot. And other days you're going to be more relaxed, and things are going to be calm. Once you have that, as that starts to grow, and it doesn't take very long, you will begin to be separate from the emotional content of your thoughts. And that's a huge, powerful thing because you will notice your thoughts, but you will not be in the emotional content. It'll almost be like you're watching somebody else tell you about how they're worried about something. That gives you the ability to choose. When you begin to notice what your mind's doing, now you have a choice. And you can say, well, I'm not going down there. And you're constantly bringing it back gives you that willpower strength. I'm not going to go that way with that thought because I know where it's taking me. So then you begin to be able to control your thoughts because you're aware of them and you have the strength to do it. And the other thing is that when you feel, when you notice that you're struggling, when you notice that you're uncomfortable, understand that that's because you're in the process of mastering something that you haven't mastered yet. And, you know, that's a very normal feeling when you're in that situation. It's not a bad thing. It's just a notice for you that, look, this is something that you're in the process of mastering, and it's an opportunity for you to master it. So, you know, for example, you have to be in these situations that we feel are uncomfortable in order to master them and get comfortable. The things that we can do easily, we don't notice them because we're comfortable with them. It's the things in our life, the situations in our lives, whether it's a job interview or a conversation with someone that's difficult. If I said to you, well, look, you know, do you want to be able to handle a difficult conversation effortlessly. If you could handle it any way you want to be able to handle it, how would that be? Would you want to be a master of that where you had absolutely no problem with it? Well, everybody would say, yeah. Okay, well, you can't do that unless you're in that situation. If you want to learn to sing in front of 1,000 people, you can sing in front of the mirror all you want. But sooner or later, you got to get on stage and sing in front of 1,000 people and go through that experience. And multiple times, that's what gives you the opportunity to execute your planning. And all of this is available if you're aware. When you get in a situation, you start to feel comfortable. Instead of being in your discomfort, you start to realize, oh, I'm uncomfortable. This is what's happening. Now I have an opportunity to focus on my execution because I've got this situation.
Right.
It's a complete game changer.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really interesting. Now, how do you go about it? And I'm going to ask the same thing to Chad. Of course, I know Chad. But when you want to, you know, say you're going to write a new book, you know, and you've got already A through Z in your life, how do you make time for this new project, or how do you know what I'm saying?
Well, the one thing I do is I identify the situations that stifle me ahead of time, because when you're doing it, then you have a calm, clear mind. In other words, don't wait till you're in a circumstance where you're uncomfortable or where it's difficult. Like this here, you're talking about you've got all these different distractions that are pulling you in different directions. So I set up a procedure of, this is when I feel this way, when I say, okay, I'm going to write from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock in the morning, and something, I know that something's going to come at me at some point that's going to try to pull me off of that track. Well, I will have a procedure that I have decided on beforehand. I will make my mind up, and I'll make my decisions then and say, when that happens, when that conflict comes up, this is how I'm going to handle it, because I know when I'm in that situation, the emotional content of the situation is going to have a tremendous pull, and it's going to want me to go in another direction. And I want to think clearly about, if I could handle that moment any way that I wanted, how would that be? And then I've already made that decision. So when that moment comes, the moment is the trigger. The trigger sets off the procedure, and I go, here it comes. And because you're aware of your thoughts through your thought awareness training, you're separate from all that. You're watching it all happen. You go, oh, here comes that thing that I knew it was going to happen, so I've already made my mind up about what I'm going to do. So there's no decision-making in the moment of emotion, and that it pushes you through that moment and gives you the opportunity to follow through.
That's interesting. So it's almost like thinking your thought process, or, you know, even your action process all the way to the very end, and then saying, okay, you know, this usually happens, my phone's going to go off, or I'm going to get 100 texts, and no, I'm going to carve this time out and really, you know, unless, God forbid, it's an emergency, correct?
That's correct. And I think that, you know, it's important to understand that, you know, if it's a difficult, let's just take a difficult person. Suppose you have a difficult person at work that you have to deal with routinely. Well, the person walking in the room becomes the trigger. And, if you've made these decisions about how that person, you know how they act and you know what they do to you, if you make these decisions beforehand, you disempower that person's ability over you, because you're not in the emotion as a response. Mm. You're separate from it, and you're just watching yourself. It almost becomes amusing, because you can say, oh, here's that uncomfortable feeling that this person, or here's that annoyance that I normally feel. Here it comes. Well, I've already made my decision as to what I'm going to do with this.
I love that.
Really does change. But you can't do that if you're not aware of your thoughts. You have to, you know, if you just get sucked right into the emotion, and where most people spend their day, their mind immediately reacts. It's a habitual response that they have repeated over and over again. And so they just follow along. And the next thing they know, they're behind the curve. You know, I have a pilot's license, and they talk about being either with the airplane, ahead of the airplane, or behind it. And it's very similar. You know, you want to be ahead of the airplane. You don't want to be reacting to the crosswind. You want to be ahead of it. And so,
this is super interesting. And I think that I so enjoyed talking with you. I'd love to have you back on again. Where do we find your book?
You can find the book Amazon, all the regular places that you would think of, and people can find out more about me on my website, tomsterner.com.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Life. Please share our show with everyone.
I absolutely will.
Thank you so much, Kim. All right. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. We are going to move into our next guest, and I hope, is it Raghavan? Did I get
it
right?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. And Iyer, right?
higher. Yep.
Oh, I did good. All right. And of course, we talked about your topics: smashed, mashed, boiled, baked, and fried too. And I asked everybody, what are we talking about? And of course, potatoes. Like, how could you have a whole book on just potatoes? Tell us a little bit about yourself, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's a book that I've always wanted to write. This is my latest cookbook.
How many do you have?
This is my sixth book.
Wow.
And, most of the books I've written have been on Indian cooking and Asian cooking, and so this is the first one that I have sort of honored the spud, and I felt like it was a book that I've always wanted to do all my life, and so when I got the opportunity, I really spent a lot of time and effort and creativity in doing this book, and I have loved every minute of it.
Hmm, I love that. And I'd love you to send me your other books and have you back on with all the your other cookbooks. I'm all about cooking. I love cooking. So, yeah. So tell us, okay, about the varieties and uses from usual, you know, russet, right? Yukon, gold.
Sure.
Yeah. So tell us about those.
Oftentimes, I think, you know, when you think about, you know, potatoes, I break them down into starchy potatoes or waxy potatoes. Your starchy potatoes are your russet, the Yukon gold, some of the more traditional white flesh potatoes that are perfect for making mashed potatoes or for baking. They usually have a higher starch content. And then you've got your waxy potatoes or your boilers, which have low starch but high moisture. So they're perfect for things like salads and, you know, dishes where you want your potato to be a little bit more firm as you're cooking them. So those are sort of the main varieties I talk about. And then, you know, of course, nowadays you can find so many different colors of potatoes. And so for certain recipes, I call for some of those colors as well. So depending on what recipe that you're going to do from the book, there's a particular type of potato I call for, as opposed to, you know, more a varietal name, because oftentimes people won't look for, you know, the name of a potato variety, but they'll look for the color or the type of it. So that's what I focus on.
Interesting. And so in your book, do you have tons of different recipes for just potatoes?
They're all potato recipes, and although I do have about a handful of sweet potato recipes as well.
Ooh, that's my favorite, sweet potatoes. Yeah.
Even the sweet potatoes, as you know, Kim, has nothing to do with regular potatoes. It's a totally separate plant altogether. But nonetheless, you know, I do have a few of those as well.
So what's your favorite? Chad, do you like sweet or potatoes?
I do, but I don't eat them very often because they're very starchy.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of nutritional value to them, but I'm not a big starch person.
Well, it's interesting. We went to a restaurant this last week and we had Parmesan garlic French fries, I guess you would say.
Okay, well, oh my French God. Fries, that's not
okay. Well, that's a potato, right?
It is, but it's
I
like
know.
A...
I every once in a while I break potato. Down, you know, and have one of those. To me, it's just like...
You fry anything and it tastes different.
Exactly. So what's your favorite recipe for potatoes, or that, since you're kind of the connoisseur now?
Yeah, you know, you talk about fried, and you know my ears perk up in 2 seconds because I love fried potatoes as well in various forms. There's a really different and amazing. I make a homemade cheesy tater tot with fresh tarragon, and that is just an incredibly addictive recipe that I think it truly has to be one of my favorites as well. I also do a mojito potato pomegranate salad, which is quite refreshing, which sort of appeals to the adult in all of us, I think. And,
what's,
you know,
in that?
Resist?
Tell us about that.
It's fresh mint and limes, and it's got white rum, which is what you find in mojitos as well, and just a titch of sugar in there. And then I got all these assorted colored fingerling potatoes that I boil, and I add it to that. And then I also add to that fresh pomegranate.
Mm.
And you get this very, very, you know, luscious-looking salad, which is chock full of flavors. And so
it's like a potato salad?
It is a potato salad. Yeah. Yes.
Ooh, and, but with the, I love that. That's very unique.
With rum, and you know, it's a great, especially, you know, it's in the holiday season, you know, it's festive looking, and it's also a great salad you can bring to the table for brunch, I think is wonderful as well.
Interesting. So let me ask you a question, okay? What are some of the facts about potato nutrition? Are they really, I mean, I know, Chad, we were talking about that, you know, the starch, but are they, I mean, what's the difference? Or like, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, potato by itself is actually, it's a very, very nutritious vegetable. And you think about, you know, one of the key things about potatoes is very high in complex carbohydrates, which is what your body really, you know, converts to energy to make you even function for the day. So in terms of that, from complex carbohydrates, it's very high. You also talk about the, you know, the ratio of vegetable protein to carbohydrates. Potatoes have a much higher ratio of that if you compare it to cereal, for instance. And so it's far superior in nutrition to cereals than what you would imagine it to be. So that, and also it's a great source of vitamin C and potassium and magnesium. And some of the darker colored potatoes also have some antioxidants. And a potato has no fat, it has no sodium, it has no cholesterol.
Wow. And,
yeah, we add all that.
You add all of that. You know, but again, that's the beauty of it, is you can monitor and control what it is you're adding. But from a standpoint of nutrition, you know, it's really quite a solid, nutritionally solid vegetable.
Huh, that's interesting. Now, what about organic versus conventional, or the GMO, I guess?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, and that's such a personal choice for many people. And so potatoes, by its nature, and it's very thin-skinned, and it has an ability to, you know, retain and absorb chemicals and pesticides that you're adding to that crop. And so,
is it part of the dirty dozen?
It is part of the dirty dozen, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, potatoes, berries.
So you probably would want to have organic.
Yeah, I personally, when I buy the potatoes, I always do seek out the organic kind. And so, you know, but if you think about, you know, the uses of potatoes, pesticides and fertilizers for potatoes, they've been doing that, you know, from way back in the 1800s. Even in Peru, and you know, they would use byproducts of seabirds. You know, you think about the pelican and the cormorant and so on. And that's what they used to prevent, you know, bugs and so on. And so that was one of the oldest fertilizers that were utilized. And so, of course, that gave way to a lot of the more modern chemicals. And so, you know, now that has been refined over the years. And, you know, the potatoes that are genetically modified, they're modified basically to prevent adding a lot of pesticides to the potato crop. And so, you know, again, it's a personal choice. I mean, people would much rather go with an organic potato because of that reason. And so from a standpoint of my choice, I always do enjoy a good organic potato.
Sounds interesting. I do want to remind anybody that's just joining us right now, or just waking up with us, starting your day here on the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Raghavan Iyer, and we're talking, what is the name of your book? Is it Smashed, Mashed, Boiled, and Baked, and Fried Too?
That is exactly the title. It's a mouthful.
I love it. It is a mouthful. And so of all of those, which one is your favorite?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Good question, huh?
Good question. But I still sort of, you know, go for the ultimate mashed potato. And it's
what do you put in your mashed potato?
It's the way I mash them, I think, that makes it so light and fluffy.
Do you whip them?
You know, I don't whip them. I basically, you know, once I boil the potato, just until it's tender, I drain it and then put the potatoes back into the pan and I dry the potato out a little bit. And then I put them into a ricer, and then I rice the potato. And it's a gadget you can buy in just about any store that sells, you know, household kitchen appliances and small wares as well. So a good ricer, you push them through, and these potatoes come out looking like they're sort of like strands of rice. And so But then I take, you know, a hot liquid, like I usually will melt cream cheese and butter and in cream. And then, you know, once it's nice and melted, I basically then pour that over the rice potato and I fold it in with some fresh chives, and that's it, you know.
Yum. Okay.
As soon as you fold it in, you're done with it.
Yeah, I like it really creamy and soft. Mm-hmm. And do you like it chunky or do you like it?
No, mashed potatoes.
Yeah, no.
Why mash them then?
Yeah, I mean, but
that's potato salad.
I know. Yeah. Chopped, you mean?
Well,
yeah.
If it's chunky, it's not mashed potatoes.
Yeah. What do you put in your mashed potatoes?
I put butter, salt, pepper, a little bit of milk or cream. And then if I'm feeling, you know, like I don't care about my calories for the day, then I'll throw some sour cream or mayonnaise.
I was just going to say,
And it adds a creaminess, richness to
it. That's exactly. There you go. Just depends on how much you have left over, right?
Yeah, right. If I'm going to add gravy to it or not.
Yeah. Well, perfect. Well, where do we find your book?
The book is available wherever books are sold, online stores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any independent bookstore. So they are available worldwide, actually.
Okay. So, well, I thank you so much for sharing some of your smash, mash, boiled and baked and fried, too. So anyway, send me your other books, and I'd love to have you back. Sounds like you've done your homework.
Thank you. My pleasure, Kim, and love chatting with the two of you.
Thank you. Happy holidays. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Peter Van Norden, who is Scrooge, and then, of course, director and friend Brian McDonald. And we're going to be talking about Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And, of course, that is playing right now at the Rubicon Theater. And we've got tickets, don't we?
We do. You can win them right here. It's the inaugural production of Dickens' classic last season was presented with a heightened focus on storytelling and received excellent reviews. The Critics' Choice Review in the Times praised the adaptation and the virtuoso performances of Rubicon favorites Joe Spano and Peter Van Norden, who returned this year along with the members of the 24-person cast. It runs December 7th through the 24th. They're located at 1006 East Main Street in Ventura, and you can win tickets right here at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Name, number, email address, and a team member will contact you back.
There you go. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life right here in the 805. We'll be right back.
Ventura Water is dedicated to providing our community with quality water and wastewater services 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We've been delivering drinking water from local sources since 1923, cleaning wastewater for more than a century, and preventing stormwater pollution for the past two decades. Ventura Water, a trusted life source for generations. For more information about Ventura Water, visit us at www.venturawater.net or call 805-667-6500. That's 805-667-6500. Rubicon Theater Company brings back acclaimed holiday hit, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, starring Broadway, TV, and film veterans Joe Spano of NCIS as Jacob Marley and Peter Van Norden as Scrooge. Along with a 23-member cast, this heartwarming production received a Critics' Choice rave reviews from numerous publications. Adapted by producing artistic director Carol Lynn Burns and directed by Brian McDonald, this innovative retelling of the classic is presented as a play with music. Children will thrill at the highly theatrical elements, with characters playing inanimate objects and animals on a multi-level set. And adults can look forward to the faithful treatment of this timeless tale. Make your holidays extra special this year with this astounding, awe-inspiring show. A Christmas Carol runs December 7th through December 24th on Wednesdays through Sundays. For tickets, call 805-667-2900 or go to RubiconTheater.org.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here. And of course, our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We love getting all of your calls. Keep calling and just leave us your name, your number, and your email so one of our team members will get back with you and make sure you know and let us know what you're calling about. So last year's Christmas Carol was so successful that Rubicon actually decided to bring it back. And so we're going to find out a little bit about what makes this virgin version. You like that? I know, yeah.
Tie it right in, don't you?
I know, there you go. Different from others. So I do want to welcome, and of course, Peter Van Norden. He's been on our show before, and happy holidays and welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us back.
Absolutely. And of course, Brian McDonald. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks. Good. It's been a while.
I know. And of course, you guys are busy. So tell us, everybody, a little bit about this year's Christmas Carol.
Well, first of all, I mean, we were so thrilled with the response that we got last year. And you know, it's something we were hoping to make into a holiday tradition. And so I think that, you know, the response certainly justified that. And so we got to revisit the play. And the exciting thing is that you don't really get to do that a lot in the theater. You know? And so we, you know, I think it took a lot of time to look at the story that we were telling, kind of change some things up. You know, we wanted to keep it really fresh for the audiences. And so for even those people that maybe saw it last year, for them to come back, there are a few surprises in store.
Oh, it was really good last year. I was there, of course. But yeah, so, okay, so there's some little changes, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely taken from the novel. But, you know, you don't always see all of the wonderful scenes that are in the novel. And so we've kind of looked at that and tried to see what's, you know, some other scenes that might be interesting. And I think we've accomplished a great deal. It feels really exciting and it feels really fresh and new to us too.
Oh, that's cool, because if you guys are already doing it, then it's almost like you've done it and now you can make it better, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
I think that's exactly what we've done. You know, you find over the years that the characterizations and the emotional journey that these characters take are endlessly deep and complex. And so to revisit them, you find so much stuff where you think to yourself, wow, how did I not see that last year? So it's a real interesting challenge to recreate it.
Cool. Now here's a question. Okay, so what is your personal relationship to? Because you know we always have our things that we can remember as kids, and now you get to do it your way. So talk to us about that.
Well, so I'm playing Ebenezer Scrooge, and I am an old stingy miser. Scrooge. I always say to people that Scrooge's journey is the audience's journey, because we all sit there for the first whatever part of a play and we go, oh, I know people like Scrooge. I know people like
that. I remember thinking that, you know.
But I think by the end of the play, we all say, there's part of me in that too.
Everybody can identify, you know. And you know what else I'm going to kind of add to that is when you lose somebody in your life, okay, the only thing you wish is that you would have been able to give them more or done more. And so to me, that's what I identified with it, is like, oh my God, should I spend the money? Spend the money. Go buy flowers.
Don't let the opportunities go by.
Exactly. I think that's a great message
and
also.
I also think that by the end of the play, people realize that we have a tendency as middle-class Americans or whatever to hope that other people will take care of problems. Mm. But what Scrooge learns is that it's not other people's job. It's his job. That he's the one who has to step forward and help as many people as he personally can in his personal life. So, and we lose track of that in our lives, I think.
Yeah. When does that change in the play? You know, when does he realize that?
Well, that's a great question, because we explore that very question every time we do it. When does this change actually happen in him? When do we want the audience to know that it's happening in him?
Yeah.
We have a lot of choices in there in terms of when we can do that. To me, and I think for Brian too, because we've talked about it obviously, it's a gradual process.
Yeah.
It's a gradual process in him, and the spirits are showing him different things in every part of his life, past, present, and future. And each one of those is a little lesson that he either learns something from or denies about it and won't learn it for a while yet. So that's a very interesting choice in terms of when you present the pieces.
Yeah.
When does he learn what he learns?
Because, you know, in reality of real life, sometimes it's too late, right? Is it too late in your play? We can't give that away, right? Well, that's why we got to get everybody over there. And that was a perfect, you know, right? So what is your favorite scene, both of you?
Wow, there's so many. There's a scene, emotionally to me, there's a scene when Scrooge is presented in the future with a dead body, and he doesn't know who it is.
Oh.
We, the audience, are very much into the fact that we know it's him.
Right.
It's his own body, but he doesn't know it. And there is some poetry in that description that Dickens writes about the nature of the dead body and what does it mean to have lived and to have died, and Scrooge's reluctance to look at this body because somewhere inside of him he knows it's him.
Wow.
I love that scene. I love that scene because it's very spooky, and poetically it's really, really beautiful. So that one stands out to me always.
I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that, one, we're going to be here all the way till 8 o'clock. And, of course, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Peter Van Norden, who is Ebenezer Scrooge, and, of course, Brian McDonald, who is the director. And, of course, we're talking about A Christmas Carol, and that's over at that Rubicon. Now, I know that, you know, I've been to so many different places, but there's something like a magic about Rubicon. What can you guys speak of that?
Well, I think for me, the vision of the artistic directors and the sort of a commitment to producing the best quality theater and really investing in the stories that we tell and nurturing the artists to and encouraging them to take risks and do their best work, I think is really an exciting place to be for me as a, you know, a storyteller.
Right.
And then also I think the theater itself is pretty special. Just the atmosphere. I mean, I think that, you know, you can go to a large theater. And when I was on tour with Miss Saigon, you know, we played the Wang, and the Wang was like, I don't know, 8,000 seats or something. It was just this vast sort of space. And the intimacy of the Rubicon and a place like this, the energy within the room, I think that there's, you know, whether or not you enjoy the production, you can't help but experience it in a very, a visceral way. And I think that's really exciting for our audiences and to work in the space. And just the people of Ventura, you know, our audiences that come in. I love living here. I love this place. And I love sharing these stories with this community.
And I have to tell you, it sure shows. I mean, even all of the actors that come in there, it's kind of like a full circle. They come, they go, and they come back, and they go, and they come back. And it's like a big family.
It is a family. It's, you know, as an actor who comes into town from out of town to do a show here.
Where are you from?
Los Angeles.
Okay.
Born and raised in New York, but Los Angeles for 30 years now. You know, as an actor, the thing that you look for is a support system.
Yeah.
And some theaters have not so great support systems, and some theaters have terrific support systems. The support system at the Rubicon is so good. The people are so good at what they do, and I mean, it's the same thing, I'm sure, for a radio show. If the people around you aren't doing their job, it's not going to be a very good experience. At the Rubicon, you know, we have tremendous support from our designers, our scene designers, our lighting designers, our sound designers, our incredible directors like Brian.
Yeah.
So it makes the actor's job so not only easier, but so much more pleasant and so much more fulfilling. Because, like Brian said, ultimately we're storytellers, and everyone involved has to tell the story.
I love it. How many people are in this cast telling this story?
24, so
yeah,
we are.
It's a big one.
24.
Huh? Yeah, and a lot of kids.
It's a huge cast, a lot of kids, which also is one of the most fun things about doing this play.
Is it?
You get to spend the holidays around all these kids who are so happy to be in this play,
wow,
so happy to be doing it, and really experiencing the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, it's almost like bringing in the holiday together, right?
It really is. It's,
yeah.
It's a great way to spend the holiday.
Wow, and how do these kids, are these kids that want to end up being performers? Or are they, how do you pick them?
Well, a lot of them actually have come from our, they all had to audition, and they came from our summer programs, our acting programs, you know, and so I love that. In fact, a lot of our older sort of teen and early 20 cast members also grew up in the program. So for me, you know, who the guy who sort of runs that program and to sort of have known these students for a long time.
Bringing them in.
Right. To have them be a part of our main stage shows is really exciting and wonderful. And to see them really blossom into very fine actors, it's a joy, you know. That's part of why I love what I do is, you know, I wanted to be here in a community building something and watching it grow. And it gives me that great joy every time I do it.
Wow. So. Brian, it starts on the 7th, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Opening night is
tonight. Okay, thank
you. That's right.
And when does it last till?
It goes through December 24th, so okay. Right up through Christmas Eve, which is
perfect.
It is a perfect time.
So this is
time.
Like perfect for gifts, perfect for family members to get everybody together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I myself have actually purchased theater subscriptions for my parents for Christmas, and it's great. They love it. And it's at their local theater on Long Island. And so every time, you know, they get to go, you know, and have a date night, throughout the year. So, yeah. We have plenty of gift certificates for not only our shows, but also our educational programs and things like that. So people can call the box office and ask for information about those.
All right. Let's give away another pair of tickets.
Yeah. You can call right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008, name, number, email address, and we will get you tickets.
There you go. Again, I thank both of you for sharing everything that you're doing with all of our listeners. And I am so excited to go and see this. And I'm so excited for all my listeners to get out there. And of course, we're talking about Rubicon, A Christmas Carol.
You know, I also wanted to mention our harmonics, the Rubicon Harmonics. They have some concerts coming up, so be sure to check that out. Some stuff for the family and the kids and musical events on the 17th and 18th.
Perfect. We are at the end of our show, and of course, we always end it with a moment of happiness. Happiness isn't about getting what you want all the time. It's about loving what you have and being grateful for it. Stay with us. We're going to roll right into our next show. We'll be right back.